hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
So we can expect fantastic matches at the World Cup. We've seen with the qualifiers that the football quality has been absolutely amazing for all the teams that qualified. The top players will be there. The three finalists of this year's The Best Award will be playing in the World Cup with their teammates. So it's a lot of emotion there. And I'm really looking forward to the draw to see who will face whom in the World Cup in 2018.
That's FIFA President Gianni Infantino. Looking forward to Friday's 2018 World Cup draw in Moscow. During the festivities at the State Kremlin Palace, 32 teams will be drawn into eight groups of four. Before packing his bags for the Russian capital, Infantino addressed a few World Cup-related topics at FIFA headquarters in Zurich, Switzerland, and one of them was World Cup security.
Well, we expect a peaceful event. We have made the experience at the Confederation Cup where the whole event was run in a very peaceful and smooth way, and together with the authorities, we are sure that everything is organized so that the fans can enjoy in a peaceful way. I think it is very important because everyone who comes to Russia will want to be sure that he comes in a secure environment, and the environment is and will be secure. The authorities are putting 200% of their efforts to make sure that this happens, and this will happen.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino also says racism will not be tolerated at next year's World Cup in Russia. And he says referees will have the power to stop or even abandon matches if discriminatory incidents take place.
When it comes to anti-discrimination, it is the same at FIFA. This is a very high priority, and we'll make sure that no incidents will happen. And if incidents happen, then we have, for the first time in a World Cup, the so-called three-step procedure where a referee can stop a game or even abandon a game if there are discriminatory or racist incidents. Is absolutely not tolerable, and we will be very, very firm on that. So we can expect fair play in Russia.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino speaking in Zurich, Switzerland. In more World Cup news, the official poster for next year's International Football Festival in Russia has been unveiled in Moscow. It shows Soviet goalkeeping great Lev Yashin wearing a knee brace and his signature cap, leaping across to get a hand on an oversized ball featuring Russia's landmass seen from space. You can also see orange rays coming from the ball, and FIFA says the circle of green in the middle of the poster represents the pitches of the 12 tournament venues. Lev Yashin died in 1990 at the age of 60. Nicknamed the Black Spider or the Black Panther, Yashin is considered by many to be the greatest goalkeeper in the history of the game. Lev Yashin competed in four World Cups, and he's the only goalkeeper to win the Ballon d'Or award, winning the prestigious trophy in 1963. During the ceremony in Moscow, Yashin's wife, Valentina, signed the poster. Also attending the ceremony was FIFA's first female Secretary General, Fatma Samora from Senegal.
The unveiling of the official poster has always been kept a secret within FIFA, and I can tell you it's only yesterday afternoon that I discover what you will be seeing, as it will be really very much associated in your mind to how Russia hosted one of the most unforgettable events on Earth.
FIFA Secretary General Fatma Samora speaking in Moscow, Russia. And I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page to see a photo of the Lev Yashin 2018 World Cup poster. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. In African football news, Zimbabwe has withdrawn from the CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup tournament, which kicks off Sunday in Kenya. The Zimbabweans cited security concerns. In a statement Wednesday, the Zimbabwe Football Association, ZIFA, said, and I quote, "Following wide-ranging consultations with all stakeholders, the Zimbabwe Football Association has resolved to withdraw its commitment to participate in the 2017 CECAFA Challenge Cup due to the security risk posed by the volatile situation in the host country, Kenya." Now, Zimbabwe and Libya were invited as guest teams for this 39th edition of the CECAFA Cup, a tournament for member countries of the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, CECAFA. CECAFA Secretary General Nicolas Musonye says with Zimbabwe's withdrawal, the fixtures will be adjusted and the tournament, scheduled for December 3rd to December 17th, will go ahead in Kenya. In addition to guest Libya, other teams scheduled to participate are Burundi, Ethiopia, host Kenya, Rwanda, South Sudan, Tanzania, defending champion Uganda, and Zanzibar. In more African football news, video assistant referee technology will be used for the first time at an African tournament at the 2018 African Nations Championship in Morocco. The competition for home-based African players is scheduled from January 13th to February 4th. The Confederation of African Football's Referees Committee approved the use of the technology at a meeting Monday in Cairo, Egypt. Under the plan, the VAR technology would be used beginning at the quarterfinal stage of the African Nations Championship, also known as CHAN. Four Moroccan cities, Agadir, Casablanca, Marrakech, and Tangiers, are scheduled to host quarterfinal matches at CHAN 2018. During Tuesday's show, FIFA Secretary General Gianni Infantino said a decision would be made in March as to whether the video assistant referee technology would be used at the 2018 World Cup in Russia.
Hi, I'm Kofi Apari, defender for DC United. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Kofi Apari had a breakout season in Major League Soccer. The 27-year-old Ghana-born defender recorded career highs in appearances with 26, as well as goals with 2 and shots with 32. Kofi was named DC United's 2017 Defensive Most Valuable Player for his outstanding play in the back line this season. I caught up with Kofi Apari after one of the team's practices here in Washington earlier this season. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again as I say, Kofi, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Kofi, quick Voice of America history lesson. This is the 75th anniversary year of the Voice's first broadcast. We do broadcast to Ghana. Talk about your ties to Ghana.
Yeah, my family's from Ghana. I was born in Ghana as well. So, you know, that's home for me.
I understand you also lived in South Africa for a while?
That is correct. I lived there for 10 years.
And growing up, your first love was not soccer, but cricket?
It was cricket. You know, cricket is big in South Africa, and that's the sport that caught my attention at such a young age. So, yeah, I just grew up loving it.
I don't think they love it quite so much here in the States, but do you follow it now?
Not as much as I used to, but from time to time I try to catch the action here and there, but it's just hard to watch cricket matches here.
Talk about your season so far with DC United. You have career highs in several statistical categories. Talk about your season. Are you pleased so far with your performance?
No. There's still a lot that, you know, I want to accomplish. So far, I think I've done okay, done all right. But the more I can help this team, the better off, you know, I would be and will be as a team.
DC United, a very international team, based in a very international city. Your background, born in Ghana, and you have citizenship with the USA and Canada. Hypothetically, you could play for three different national teams. Do you have any goals in terms of national team duty?
Yes, my goal is to play at the international level. You know, whatever country comes calling, I'll be more than willing to play for them.
Has Ghana come calling?
Not really. I met up with their coach one time, but that was about it. You know, he just told me he's watching my games. But yeah, it's as far as that went, I guess.
Talk about your relationship with DC United's goalkeeper, Bill Hamid.
Yeah, Bill's a good friend of mine. Ever since I came to the club in 2014, I met him, and we've been real close ever since. You know, he's my roommate when we travel, and we spend a lot of time together.
Bill recently held that auction to raise money for people in Sierra Leone. Did you participate in that auction where they kind of auctioned off DC United jerseys and equipment?
Well, not to his charity per se, but I do have a good friend that is from Sierra Leone, Kai Kamara, who plays in this league, and I donated to his charity, which is helping people in Sierra Leone after the floods.
You mentioned the cricket. What else do you like to watch or do outside of professional soccer?
I like to read. I like to watch TV, watch movies, pretty much just relax. But I'll say, like, music is my biggest thing. I love listening to music. It helps me relax, calm my nerves down, and, you know, it gives me a positive look on life.
Do you listen to music before matches?
Of course I do, yeah.
What about your goals after your soccer career is over? Do you have any particular occupation or profession in mind?
Well, in school, I studied at neuroscience and African-American studies. So that doctor, the medical route is always there, but the older I get, I'm gravitating less towards that and more into like business, sports business. So maybe a position in that field.
Sports business, DC United moving into a new facility next year, Audi Field. What do you think about that new facility?
It's great. It's great for the city. It's great for our fans. Obviously, it's been a long, long time. Before, you know, DC United has a soccer-specific stadium, and, you know, the fans deserve it. The players, coaching staff are looking forward to it, you know, especially with this club and its history. Next year, we're all excited to see, to play in Audi Field. So, yeah, we're excited for it.
Kofi Opare, defender for DC United. Thanks for talking with us, Kofi.
Thank you very much.
Just ahead, Dan Friedel will have some of the latest trending sports social media topics. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten.
savor the flavor of African music. Hi, I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Tune in, feast your ears, and dig in to an hour of amazing Pan-African music, featured interviews, and music news. Music Time in Africa, Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us now for a look at some of the latest sports social media trends is Sunny Side of Sports contributor Dan Friedel. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Sunny, good to be here. I was just listening to the end of your conversation with Kofi. I'm excited to see DC United playing in the new stadium next year as well, but we may have both seen an article in the Washington Post that MLS is not sure if the stadium's going to be ready right when the season starts next year in the early spring, so that'll be an interesting story to follow as we get closer to the 2018 MLS season.
In fact, I did see that story, Dan, and I understand one option is if the new stadium is not ready, that DC United might maybe play a few matches at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland.
Right, that would give maybe a different segment of the Washington, D.C. area a chance to go see some high-level professional soccer. So I suppose that's the silver lining right there. But in the neighborhood, not too far from the VOA studios, it is moving along. The steel beams are all in place, and a lot of the roads are blocked off because of the construction equipment going in and out. So they're definitely making progress there. I suppose a lot of it depends on whether the winter here in Washington is a mild one or an extremely cold and snowy one. So fingers crossed for all the soccer fans to see the team in its rightful place from the beginning of the season in 2018.
Well, Dan, maybe you can paint a picture, so to speak, an audio picture, that area where the stadium is being constructed rapidly becoming a sports hub, so to speak, very close to the Nationals baseball park. Talk about that, what it means to that area of Washington.
Well, you know, it's happened a handful of times in the 10 or so seasons that the Nats have played in their new stadium that DC United has been playing on the same night over at RFK Stadium. And those two stadiums are separated by a few miles. Now they're basically going to be across the street from each other. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, some night in June you have a baseball game being played right around the same time as a soccer game getting played across the street. There will certainly be a lot of people and a lot of cars down there. I don't know how happy the residents of the neighborhood will be, but I suppose at the same time it should give kind of a hustle and bustle flavor to a neighborhood that once upon a time was a lot of industrial lots and warehouses, and there's even still a reclaimed concrete factory there where a lot of rubble from construction projects in the D.C. area comes to get refined and then turned back into concrete again. So it'll be interesting to see the rest of the development in that neighborhood. It's really one of the last parcels in Washington, D.C. that hasn't been upgraded in the last 20 or so years. So I'm sure that the residents are probably feeling you know, some ambivalence about people invading their neighborhood extra compared to the 81 home games that the Washington Nationals have each season. But at the same time, it's probably helpful to bring some new business to that neighborhood.
This Audi Field, Dan, less than half the size of Robert F. Kennedy Stadium, where DC United played for more than 20 years. I think the rough capacity of the new Audi Field, about 20,000. Do you like that trend, Dan, of Major League Soccer moving into these soccer-specific stadiums?
Well, I think the only drawback is that Washington, you know, used to be one of the number one destinations for the U.S. men's national team to play exhibition games and qualifiers, things like that. You know, RFK was one of its home fields for the national team, where they would get, you know, 40,000 fans for the USA team to come down into Washington, D.C. The question is whether D.C. is going to be considered for any of those games in the future. I know some of the games have been played in stadiums like in Columbus and Los Angeles and New Jersey. So it's possible that D.C. will get on the list for some of those games. But as far as the, you know, week in and week out MLS season for D.C. United, I think the new stadium is going to really be a boost. I mean, not only from the financial perspective, where they'll be able to get a little bit more money for the tickets, the game day experience will be better for the fans. Hopefully that money is going to go back into the team as far as investing in the players. And it should just be kind of a boost, because a lot of people have complained over the years that RFK Stadium, though it has a lot of memories, was definitely falling apart and had been obsolete for 20 or 25 years already.
Dan, let's turn our attention to the National Basketball Association. A few players recognized by only one name, LeBron, one of them. LeBron, maybe not something he wants to remember fondly. Tell our VOA listeners about what happened to LeBron.
Well, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, who now have Dwayne Wade as one of their key contributors off the bench, and Wade played last year in Chicago, but before that was this iconic player for the Miami Heat. The Cavs went down to Miami and were really blowing away the Heat. I mean, the Heat are a team that seems to have some potential, but they were really struggling to keep up with the Cavs, and in particular, Kevin Love in the first half, who scored over 30 points in the first half alone, making a lot of three-pointers, getting offensive rebounds and putting those shots back, really having an incredibly efficient game. And right there along with him was LeBron James. I mean, LeBron wound up playing only 28 minutes in the game, but he still wound up with 21 points and 12 rebounds, 6 assists, a typical LeBron James game. But he got ejected for the first time in his career partway through the second half. He was contested driving to the lane, and the foul was not called, and LeBron was unhappy about that, and he gestured toward the referee and said a few choice words, and the referee ejected him from the game. And it was the first time that that had happened in LeBron's career, and LeBron was not happy about that after the game.
Well, one thing the Cavs can be happy about, they've won 9 games in a row, Dan, and good news in terms of their roster. It sounds like Isaiah Thomas could soon be on the court for the Cavs.
Yeah, I saw that Tyronn Lue was saying that Thomas is making his way back, but the first thing he has to do is play some 2-on-2 games and some 3-on-3 games in practice. So we'll see how he does in something that's probably a little bit more competitive than using weights and rubber bands to rehab his hip injury. It'll certainly be nice for the Cavs to have a cushion in the division if they are up ahead by, you know, 4 or 5 games in later in December or January when Thomas finally comes back, so that they don't have to throw him right into heavy action and let him work his way back into shape.
Dan Friedel joining us once again on the program. Thank you, Dan.
Nice to talk to you, Sonny. Look forward to speaking to you again before the end of 2017. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. And that wraps up the November 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Robert Mugabe resigned the presidency of Zimbabwe last week after Parliament initiated impeachment proceedings against him, ending his oppressive 37-year rule and opening the country to what U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called an extraordinary opportunity to set itself on a new path. Mugabe was elected as Zimbabwe's first prime minister in 1980 and became president in 1987 after changes to the constitution created an executive presidency. He had remained in power ever since. During his rule, the United States condemned his government's increasing assault on human rights and the rule of law, and joined much of the world in calling for the government of Zimbabwe to embrace a peaceful democratic evolution. In his place, former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa was sworn in, promising the beginning of a new unfolding democracy. With the resignation of Robert Mugabe, today marks a historic moment for Zimbabwe, said Secretary Tillerson in a statement. We congratulate all Zimbabweans who raised their voices and stated peacefully and clearly that the time for change was overdue. The United States looks forward to and hopes for free and fair elections, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert.
The people of Zimbabwe have firmly voiced their desire for a new era to bring an end to Zimbabwe's isolation and allow the country to rejoin the international community. The future of Zimbabwe, though, has to be determined by the people of that country.
Secretary Tillerson also said, "We urge Zimbabwe's leaders to implement much-needed political and economic reforms for a more stable and promising future for the Zimbabwean people. We will continue to support the people of Zimbabwe as these reforms move forward." U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas noted future U.S. engagement with Zimbabwe and President Mnangagwa will depend on those actions. This is a new day. This is a new opportunity for him and his cabinet to live up to the wonderful 2013 Zimbabwean Constitution. And that is what we will tell them. It is your constitution. It is democratic. It is something you endorsed when you were Minister of Justice and later as Vice President. This is for your people. So live up to it, and the United States will find a way to partner. The United States is the largest provider of development and humanitarian assistance to the people of Zimbabwe, providing $253 million last year. The United States, said Secretary Tillerson, strongly supports a peaceful, democratic, and prosperous Zimbabwe.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.